sang this song, I want to share something with you. I think all of you know this. I believe, and I'm sure you believe as well, that God created the heavens and the earth. Amen? He sure did. He absolutely did it all. Everything whatsoever there was. I believe that he made day and night, and I know you do too. I believe that he made the rainbow. He hung the stars, the moon, and the sun in the sky. And he's in charge of this world every day of our lives. So I'm going to sing this song, Oh, How the Sun Does Shine. Oh yeah. Pray this speaks to your heart today. It sure has been dark, and nights have been long. No joy, no gladness, not even a song. Here comes the morning, it's just on time. Oh, how the sun does shine. Listen. I've had my share of heartaches and pain. No garden, no flowers. There's just not enough rain. But look out my window. Everything's just fine. Oh, how the sun does shine. What a wonderful morning, what a wonderful day, what beautiful flowers, what more could I say? The dark night is over, the joy sublime, oh how the sun does shine. He kisses the flowers, paints them with dew. I look at that rainbow for me and for you. The dark night is over, there's joy sublime. Oh, how the sun does shine. Oh yeah, he is Lord of Lords, he's King of Kings, he's all majesty, he's in charge of every life in his church, every day of your life, amen? Everything is just fine. Oh yeah, oh how the sun does shine. What a wonderful morning, what a wonderful day, what beautiful flowers, what more could I say? The dark night is over, there's joy sublime, oh how the sun does shine. Kisses the flowers, paints them with dew. I look at that rainbow for me and for you. The dark night is over, there's joy sublime. Oh, how the sun does. shine. The dark night is over, there's joy sublime. Oh, how the sun does shine.
Yes!
Thank you, brother. Stated very, very well. Here you go, take your deodorant with you too. Ah, oh, that's good. Thank you, Brother Jim. Very, very good. Very good.
Exalt the Lord.
Amen. Exalting Jesus Christ. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. You ever have trouble buying people gifts? I mean, like Father's Day or Mother's Day? It was this one guy that I read about. He had a way of buying his father exotic gifts, just like, you know, you get, I'm sure, you know. He gets these exotic gifts on Father's Day. And I mean, he'd buy antique cars, or he'd go out and buy this remote ticket to go to some place in the world where it was so remote. And just Father's Day, he had trouble. Because he one year he thought he found that perfect gift. And that perfect gift was it was one of those birds that could talk. In fact, he could speak in five languages. Imagine that, finding a bird that could speak in five languages. And also sing the Yellow Road to Texas on one foot. I mean, he found it, that perfect gift. But that perfect gift cost a whole bunch of money. Cost $100,000. But he says, you know what? Dad's worth it. Dad's worth it. So he bought it. And shipped that bird to Dad. And two or three days later, he called up Dad and said, Dad, how'd you like the Father's Day gift? And he said, oh, it tastes good, son. You know, sometimes, you know, we just don't get the program. And I'm afraid, you know, we've been in our program for stewardship. And we're into it about 9 weeks. And then about every 5 years, we go through a series of stewardship. And we learn about these very special things. So inside of this program, learning about the program, we understand that God owns it all. He really does. He owns it all. And we recognize that we are stewards. Whatever He's given to us, He's given to us that as being a steward of His. So because of this, God says, look, I own your time. Because I've appointed unto you one day to die. I own your talents because everything that you received has been a gift from me. And I also own your treasures, and that's the stuff of your life. Now, when you put all these things in a proper perspective, all of a sudden it begins to make sense. And then when it comes from the stewardship of giving, he teaches us about giving the 10% of the tithe. And that is the recognition that God is an owner. And so therefore, when we come together on Sunday, man, it is an opportunity. It is a joy that we can give unto God. And so therefore, there is the tithe in which we show God that He's the owner. And then we give God offerings. Now, offerings are something a little bit different. They're strictly volunteer. The tithe, well, that was just mandated, command of God. But the offering is something that's just an overflow of what is coming from our heart to God. And we're going to begin this morning in reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 1. It says, now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. What he's telling us here, he's given us instructions of how that we can enjoy. Because you don't know the seeds that you're planted, what's going to happen in your life. You know, believe it or not, I went to my 40th year class anniversary. Now, how old does that make me? Okay, well, you got it figured out now. It was 1972 when we graduated. And it was kind of, and you know what? My classmate got older. I don't know what happened there, but some of us just got better looking. And you know what? During the class, but the thing that kind of struck me was couple of people came up, and you know, we haven't seen some maybe in 30 years, 40 years. And the things that they remember 40 years ago. I mean, one guy said, yeah, I remember your Mustang. It was a 3-speed. Yeah, I know. I remember when we beat, I can't tell that story. But anyhow, you know, it's the little things that, but what struck me was two people came up and one of them said, thank you for burying my dad. Still remember the service. You know what? Long forgotten. Some of the stuff that we do is long forgotten. But when you make an investment in the lives of other people, it's not really forgotten. Another one came up and said, my dad really enjoyed you preaching at Bursary. Y'all know we're Bursary Presbyterian Church? Hey, I have an honor. I'm an honorary member at Bursary Presbyterian Church, okay? And so therefore, my dad remembers that. People that I wouldn't even dream about think about that. Make an investment of your time, of your talents, of your energies. And then we heard some other stories. I'll tell you about one in a little bit. But anyhow, some stories of things happening. But when he tells us these special things in our life, one of the great things that Paul's telling us here, that when we give, we must give worshipfully. When we come together, he said, upon the first day of the week, we must worship God. Now, in giving, worship, what is worship? Worship is celebration. Folks, if you get bored in the worship service, pick up your Bible and start reading about God's creation that Jim was singing about, and get so excited that you start shouting, and then people's going to look at you and they're going to say, what did the preacher say then? He didn't say nothing. But you're right in the middle of it and you got so excited, because you see, when you come together, we come to worship God. And there's something so special about this when we worship Him, as what Brother Michael was reading about, such as Deuteronomy 26, verse 10. Now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord. Listen, and in Philippians 4, 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice well-pleasing to the Lord. Wow! What he's saying is, this is what God's blessed me with. And I want to show God I love Him. I want to do these things for God. But by the way, it's only as He's blessed you. If He didn't bless you this week, don't do nothing. If He didn't give you breath to breathe, if He didn't give you work to do, if He didn't sustain you, if He didn't encourage you, if He didn't provide a home for you, you don't have to do anything. But if He did, then listen to Psalm 96, verse 1. It says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Hey, I love those words. Sing unto the Lord. That's Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing unto the Lord a new song. What song are you going to sing this week, Danny? Oh, okay. But whatever it is, it's not the song that you sang last week. Okay? Because whatever you sang last week, that was for what God did last week. So when you come together on this Sunday, you come with a new song. Wow! What did God do this week? Man, when you get excited about what God did this week, boy, I tell you what, God just does some good things, because we can proclaim the splendor of God and the strength in His sanctuary. Listen, folks, we come together and we worship. We get excited about Jesus Christ and what He's doing this week. So neat. Secondly, we give systematically. Systematically means this. He says, on the first day of the week, that's when they would worship together, let each one lay aside something every week. In other words, when you begin to give, and you can say, now preacher, why are you doing this? Remember, every 5 years I want you to capture this. But if you give systematically, all of a sudden, you're opening up the windows of heaven so that God can just lay the blessings on you. When you come together, you're not coming, man, you can't hardly wait till you get here so that you can give God of the blessings of this week. And now the first day of the week, we're coming not haphazardly, but we're coming. We're coming we're going to give because of the vow, not the wow. So, you know, some people give by the wow. boy, preacher preached a good sermon this Sunday, and they fork it out. Listen, if the preacher preached a good sermon, don't fork it out for that. Goodness gracious, I know better than that. Then you might be lying. But you know, but give it because of the vow that you've made to God. Systematically, all of a sudden in your life, you're putting these things together. Man, and the wow is what God is doing. And the wow is this. We get wowed on what God says. So giving is a way of showing that you're budgeting in your life the vow that you have to God, the wow that you have for God. And it's a plan. It's a plan and that you're going. And but when you do that, I want you to recognize that it's individual. Individually, we do these exciting things. On the first day of the week, let each one of you give. Now, it's no exception. By the way, what does each one of you give mean? That means everyone in here. Do you know what? One of the greatest things that you could teach your kids is how to give God the tithe or how to give God an offering. Can you visualize this? Visualize it. Can you visualize just for a moment, that moment when your mom or your dad took you up and said, son, here's your $10 allowance for this week. Now, out of that $10, $1 goes to the Lord. Because you see, God blessed me this week to earn $10 that I could give to you. And now, you can be a blessing back to God. And so all of a sudden, when you begin to teach children, hey, look, this is for real. This is exciting. This is a worship. So therefore, you bring it together. No exceptions. Children are included. Separate. Hey, look, separate. When we begin to do this and you begin to give, put aside yourself. It's not for somebody to pat you on the back. By the way, if you're looking for a pat on the back for a gift that you're going to give, this is not the right place. There's no kadoos for that. In fact, when you begin to look at this, what you're saying is don't expect a pew to be named after you. We don't have pews here. Don't expect a pew to be named after you or your name inscribed on something great because you've done this marvelous work. No. It's just separate. Individuals don't look for credit. In fact, Matthew 6:3 says, but when thou dost an alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. Openly. What are you doing? What God has done for you. What He's richly blessed you for. He's bringing these things, and God wants you to express that. Teach others. Teach others. Why? Because, man, if you can teach them how to worship, celebrate individually the responsibility to God, and all of a sudden God owns everything, and we're a steward, and then God adds to us these blessings, man, God will bring it all together through this sense of privacy. You don't have to let others know it. God's going to bless you. And when He does it, verse 2 says, we must give proportionately. And I like this. Each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper. What that means is to give according to your blessings. Now, if you've been blessed with a $1,000 paycheck this week, that's $100. If you've been blessed with $500, it's less. If you was blessed with 50 cents, that's a nickel. And you know what? That nickel is as big in God's eyes as that $100 bill. Because that's God. It's so neat. That God says, in proportion to the blessings that you have blessed. I like it because God has blessed our home over the last few years that the company that I work for, that I've been able to receive a raise. And you know what? Every time I get a raise, guess who else gets a raise? The Lord does. Isn't that neat? Man, God, do it again. Can't wait till next time. You know, God, do it again. God wants you to be a blessing. Proportionately, it's not how much. It's God saying, look, God, I want to show you. Oh, God, I love you so much. And whatever God does for you, then you share that. You give that to God. Because that money, your time and your talents, all of a sudden, God wants you to use it for His glory. Hey, by the way, He wants you. Y'all know the difference between a conduit and a cul-de-sac? conduit cul-de-sac. Okay, a conduit. Okay, Mr. Electrical, where are you? What's a conduit for? Run wiring. It's wide open, isn't it? Does it keep on going? Yeah, it keeps on going. You know what a cul-de-sac is? A dead end. That's a cul-de-sac. It's a dead end. So you see, what God wants us to do is to understand that the blessings, He wants it to be a conduit so that people all over will be blessed and not be a dead end, for this is what God wants us to do. God says, hey, look, I want you to be abounding. Let your generosity, let it flow for the kingdom of God. Because when He does this, He will teach us these great things. Now, inside of this, I want you to see another special verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3. The Scripture says, "For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, beyond their ability, they were freely willing." Three stages, three levels of giving. One is less than your ability. Two is according to your ability. And three is beyond your ability. That is, less than means that you're not doing what you could or should. According to means that you're giving the 10% and maybe giving an, and then giving an offering. And then beyond says, this logically doesn't make any sense, but I'm going to do it anyway. Hey, do y'all remember that little widow and how she gave two pennies? Y'all remember her? Did that make any sense? This woman gave everything she had. Did that make any sense? No, but you know what she needed? She needed a miracle. She was dependent on God and she needed a miracle. So when she needed a miracle, she did what didn't make sense to our eyes, but God said, hey, angels, wake up. I want you to see this widow down here. And then He might have said, and I don't know, it's not written in there, but He may have said, Michael, go help her across the street. Wow, all of a sudden, recognizing she did it all. Why? She wanted God to be honored, God to be blessed. She needed this miracle. And by the way, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the Scripture says that we are to give cheerfully, cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, the Scripture says, "But let each one of you, as he purposes in his heart, not give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know what God likes for you to do when you give? He wants you to laugh. He wants it to be hilarious. And when some people grab hold of that nickel and they squeeze that buffalo, you know, that's not hilarious. I mean, that buffalo's catching it. But what God wants us to do is that when we do for Him, He wants us to be cheerful. Do it because of who God is. When God moves upon you, well, it's such as in Exodus chapter 35, verse 21, it says, "And everyone whose heart is stirred him, and everyone whose spirit was moved him, brought contribution to the Lord." When the Lord stirs your spirit, that's when you give glory to Him in the ways you can. Let the Lord stir spirit. Now, there are three types of givers. Giver number one's the flint. Number two's the sponge. And number three, the honeycomb. Now, you know what the difference is? Okay, the flint. You have to keep hammering it till you get sparks. Now, what was that? That means the preacher brings out $100 bills and says, "I'm giving a $100 bill today. Now, who's going to match me today?" And he keeps on and on and on. And the only way to get rid of the preacher is to stand up and give a $100 bill. Okay, that's called the flint. Okay, you keep hammering, you keep striking it. Then there's also the sponge. And the sponge is you have to squeeze them and wring it out of them. That's the sponge. And then there's the honeycomb. It's that which just oozes and overflows. What we're looking at right here, the cheerful one, is the one that just oozes and overflows. Because He teaches us that we give. When we give, we ought to give expectantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But He says, "He which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully." So what are you looking at right there? Look, when you give expecting. That's what God wants you to do. He's expecting it. Now, I'm not talking about the abuse that says, okay, if I give $100, God's going to give me a BMW. That's not what he said. That's called abuse. But what he does say, he says that you can have the prayer of faith, and the faith can move mountains. Now, when you're in tune with God, God's in tune with you. You've got the faith, and you've been giving. Your heart is open, and the windows of heaven are flowing. Now, do you know what the mountain represents? Here it is. The mountain represents the difficulties in your life. The difficulties in your life. So that means when you're in tune with God, God's in tune with you. God says, man, this person's loving me and caring and sharing for me, and I'm going to love and care for them. Then what I'm going to do when they pray in this faith, then all of a sudden, I'm going to move that mountain. Now, what is that mountain? That mountain might be a drug habit, and you kick it. That mountain might be a person that won't budge. That mountain might be a child in rebellion. That mountain might be a health issue that's holding you in hostage. All of a sudden, all of this is moved away because of what? Because of faith. And that faith is kind of like Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. God told him one day, he said, I want you to go. I want you to go into a distant city. And I want you, while you're there, go looking for a city not made with hands. And you know what Abraham did? He packed up the family. He packed up his father. He packed up everything, his kid. And I mean, he didn't have kids at that time. 75 years, no, 100 years later. He packed it all up, what he had, and he went looking for the city. Because he had faith. And in his life, he saw it. And God blessed him with these great things in his life. Even so much, did he ever come to the city? The answer is no, he didn't. But what he did do, he blessed him with far more because he would be a blessing to all people. And that kind of reflects on Luke 6:38, where it says, give and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over, and they will pour into your lap. For by the standard of measurement, it shall be measured unto you. Hey, anybody pick peas this time? Y'all, in bushel basket peas? Okay, I see a few peas. You know, when you put peas in a basket, you can just put them up there. But if you shake it, what's going to happen? It settles, doesn't it? It just kind of settles down. And that's what they used to do in the old day. And they used to take grain and they'd pour it in and they'd shake it and then they'd put their finger down it to get all the air holes out so that when they put, and they shook it to put their fingers down, it got all the air holes out. Then all of a sudden, when they put their finger down in it, all of a sudden it started coming out the side because you couldn't put any more in there. Hey, that's what God wants to do with us. He wants to get the air holes out. He wants us to understand. He wants to open up our life and a righteous life. Now, don't do this if you're not living right. But if you're living right, then God's going to bless you. He wants to do these things in for you. God wants to take the air out. Y'all ever buy potato chips? Sometimes, yeah. Isn't that the truth? Just full of air. You get this big, beautiful bag, and you can't hardly wait to eat that good salt and oil and barbecue. I never knew how much oil was in a chip till I threw one out to a fish one time, and the oil started going on the water. I mean, like crazy. You don't, well, anyhow, forget about that part. But the thing is, what happens is, that's so much. God says, look, I'm not going to give you a potato chip bag. I'm going to open it up and let all the air out. And I'm going to put so many potato chips in there that you just can't put one more in there. It's going to start overflowing. That's the principle that he's talking about. When we live that righteous life before him, that all of a sudden he pushes the air out. And the scripture says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant upon all we ask or think. Hey, this is what God's going to do because there's an expectation level right there. Now, also, when you do this though, remember, we're not just doing it, but we're doing it theologically. We're giving, we're sharing, we're caring, we're tithing, we're giving offerings theologically, not emotionally. Not circumstantially, but theologically. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye might through his poverty become rich. Think about what Jesus did for you. Think about it. I mean, the God who had everything gave it up. The God who, on the cattle of a thousand hills, gave it up. And when he came and when he was born on this earth, you know what they clothed him with? He didn't even have baby clothes. They put swaddling clothes and they wrapped him up. Wow! And he who knew no sin was made sin for us. The guy that had it all became poverty stricken. The guy that knew everything as though he became man, so that we might learn about him. So that when we begin to love him, all of a sudden we recognize it's about him. It's not, the church may need the money, but it's not about the church. He may look around and all these things. God may demand your money, but that's not. But the cross. Think about the cross of what Jesus Christ has died and done for you. And then your mind begins to come to the point. There's an old song that said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour my contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realms of nature mine, that would be an offering far too small. Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." When it all comes together, you see, it's all about Him. I'm going to give you a test. The test is, let's see if you can pass the test. When the music and all things slip away, what? It's all stripped away, then what? I simply come, what? Longing just to bring something that's of worth. And what?
That will bless your heart.
That will bless your heart. Isn't that neat? When it all gone away, He wants to bless your heart. He wants you to stay focused. He wants you to stay under the spout where the glory comes out. He wants you to receive all that God has for you. He wants you to maintain and understand what the program's all about. It's all about Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, then you're missing out on the program. You're missing out on what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. Sometimes we lose sight. There was this woman that had this newborn baby. And she invited a bunch of her friends to come over. And they came over, and when they came in, they started throwing their coats on the bed. And they had a party, and they started drinking, and they were just having this big time, to all of a sudden, all these people had come in, they put their coats on the bed, and they said, "Now, hey, this is all party about the newborn baby." And all of a sudden, the mother's eyes went fear-stricken. Because she ran in there on the bed, and the baby that the party was all about was underneath all the covers and its mother. You know, they forgot what the program was all about. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the world and we forget the program is all about Jesus. And when we do that, when we remember that it's about Jesus, He puts all things in perspective. Let's remember it's about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come today giving You praise and honor and glory. We come today because You've got a plan. You've got a plan, God, that You want to bless everyone in this room. The children, the teenagers, the adults. Oh God, You've got this master plan. And when we understand the master plan, God, that You own it all, and that You've made us stewards of our time, of our talents, of our treasures, God, then we can honor You with worship. We can celebrate. And when we come together, God, it's fun. It's joy. Because we get to talk about the new song. Lord, what you did this week. And we praise you. Oh God, what you've done this week. Help us, Lord. Help us to live the truth, understand the truth, do the truth. God, we do love you so much. And today, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to have a time of invitation. And the time of invitation is to remember what the program's all about. The gift. The gift is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Worshiping and praising God. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you to come today. Come and just say, Brother Robert, I want Jesus. And then we'll share scripture and we'll pray together. What is it in your life? God wants to bless you. What can you commit today to teach your children? What today can you commit today to teach one another, love one another? How can you celebrate this Sunday, next Sunday? Whoa, God wants you to celebrate and be expecting His blessings. Man, God's good. God's good. I can testify, God is good. Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.